Craig Moore, how long have you been running a record store?
Opened the retail store in 1984 after 6 years of doing mail order and record collectors events around the Midwest.
And you've been, how long have you been here?
This is 2615 North University. I moved here, pushing 23 years ago now.
It's been established here. How did the pandemic treat you?
Well, initially, not very well. It didn't come by and pat us on the back, shall I say. We got shut down in the middle of March, we didn't really have any options, because it was just the way it was. Everything had to close, and it took a little while to adjust, but the fact of the matter is that, like I alluded to, I've been doing mail order and selling records, buying and selling records in other ways since 1978. So I just had to mentally gear myself up to focus on the mail order.
When the store reopened, was it late May?
Yeah, May 29th, I believe.
And how's it been since then?
Well, when I opened the doors, I had no idea what that was going to be. But when we opened the doors, there was probably 20, 30 people outside waiting for that. I thought, maybe we'll be okay. Maybe this'll be all right. And, business has been at least normal. And at times it seems like better, But also, I got into the mindset of continually pumping thousands of pieces of new music in here. When I use the term new stuff, that it means new to the store. It doesn't necessarily mean new records or new music by new bands, although I do all of those things. But what I'm actually referring to is the whole thing forced me to start digging through a massive backlog of things that I've accumulated over, decades. And when the day we reopened, I had just under 40 boxes of new arrival used records. And then every month since then, on the end of the month, I've added another, it varies from like 14 boxes up to 20, 22.
How many records do we have in your store? I don't look for an exact count, but estimate.
If I counted 45s, probably 50, 60,000, I would guess. And if I count to 45s.
And most popular, people come in, what do they want usually?
Well, classic rock stuff. There are a lot of new bands that are generating interest, and I try to, I listen to my customers, and every day somebody will come in and they'll tell me about some band I never heard of. I look them up, they've got 6 or 10 albums out already, and then, I'll list those bands in an order, and the next person through the door comes in and they'll ask me about 2 or 3 other bands, none of which I've ever heard of, and all of which have, from 1 to 10 albums out already before I even am aware of them. They're not hearing it on the radio. They're hearing it online and, fan pages, specifically spotlight, new music by new bands or new records by, classic rock bands and so forth.
Biggest problem with records that you get in terms of condition?
Well, if they're not in good shape, I don't mess with them.
Okay.
But, people come in and if they've got stuff that I can legitimately use, I work out some kind of a deal and buy them. And, on the rare occasion that something really important walks in the door or comes in through a collection or something, I react accordingly. But the majority of stuff that comes through the door, not surprisingly, is common.
What would make your eyes jump out? What kind of record? Any particular?
Something that's never come through the door in 40 years is the first pressing Bob Dylan Freewheeling. You know, and don't even get me started trying to tell you what that is, because we'd have to do a whole show.
We'll do that one next.
Yeah, we'll have to do a podcast on that record.
Yeah, exactly. What about Beatles? Still hot?
Of course, yeah. Yeah, and you know, right now there's only a handful of Beatles albums that are actually in print. You know, they're trying to rewrite history by remixing. They remixed Sgt. Pepper. I mean, this is Giles Martin, George Martin's son. But, you know, my opinion is hands off. Leave it alone. Your dad knows what he's doing. But they remixed Abbey Road, Sgt. Pepper, the White Album. I'm sure they're probably trying to do the same with Rubber Soul and Revolver, I would imagine. Maybe the whole catalog, I don't know. But Abbey Road sounds pretty good. The White Album sounds pretty good. You know, but the original records were fabulous. And I don't see the need to make them sound like modern records. I think that's a mistake, because what is also happening is, as the remixed ones come out, they delete the original. Yeah, so, but fortunately, there are stores like this all over the country, and there are millions of the original George Martin mixes of all those albums floating around out there.
Is there a group or individual that has gained more traction later?
You know, a niche artist is still a niche artist. The niche may be bigger, like the garage band and psychedelic scene, which used to be sort of the purview of you know, garage band collectors and the people who really were into the original raw sound of, you know, the garage bands like my band, and you know, the whole Nuggets series of you know, the Music Machine, Talk Talk, and Question Mark and the Mysterians, and far more obscure. You know, screaming teenage boys with Vox guitars and Vox organs and no real talent, just doing it, you know, for the love of doing it. And those records reflect that. You know, the energy is there. And there's a whole world of people who just swear by that stuff, you know.
Somebody comes in, sorting through records. You go over there to put an album on. What do you think? What's going to inspire somebody? Obviously, you got to do a read on that individual. What is a surefire hit that you'd like to put on the record player?
The people who come in here are going to hear what I feel like listening to right. That at that moment. But you know, I do try to surprise people. I actually that's a good question, because even though I don't think, you know, well, what's that person going to like, you know? If we're talking about something, you know, I can probably surprise them with something, you know.
Oh, if you like that, then you might be interested in this.
And I do, you know, I do do that, you know. I do. I try to, if I get off of my chair and put on a record, you know, I won't put something on I think is going to bum somebody out, you know. But, you know, I mean, I'll put on a lot of things like Henry Mancini, things that are near and dear to your heart, you know, like the movie soundtracks and themes, and you know, I'll put on an old Elvis Presley record, or I don't very often put on Beatle records,
and
everybody's, you know, you hear that stuff all the time. So, you know, I'll put on maybe, lately I've been playing a new album, brand new album by a new artist named Margot Price. She's sort of being thrown into the alt-country category. I call her a singer-songwriter, and I really like her a lot. You know, I'm hoping she doesn't get lost in, you know, being pigeonholed.
Easy to do, probably.
happens all the time. You know, it happens all the time where a really great record will come out and it'll get pigeonholed into this or that category and disappear forever. She's got three albums out already, and I had never heard of her. There's another one, you know. And I picked that her out of, I was traveling, I went through Macomb and Western's radio station. They were playing something that caught my ear while I was surfing the the band, and found out, you know, I went to get that album that I heard and discovered that she had two more before that. And they're good stuff too.
Pick to Click, Margot Price.
Yeah, Margot Price. And I finally started listening to a band called Drive By Truckers, and they've got a long list of records, of course, and the people who are into them know that because Jason Isbell came out of that band. And he's, you know, he's one of the many flavors of the month over the last number of years. You know, he's good stuff. And that's probably the one thing that I've started getting into is that whole, it's a category that I don't really like, but at least it helps define, helps me sort alt country. It's not country. There is no modern country music. It doesn't exist. There is no George Jones or Marty Robbins or Johnny Cash, or, you know, there is no Hank Williams. What's laughingly referred to as country today is cookie cutter, bad pop with a steel guitar and a violin to make you, convince you that it's
country.
Yeah, it's country. Yeah, it's got a fiddle in the band,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
got
a fiddle.
Yeah, let's, yeah, got to have a fiddle. But I've started doing that. There's Eric Church, Jason Isbell. There are many, many, many artists who would fit that category. And to me, that category just means people who actually write songs. They're not looking for the songwriters on Broadway and Nashville to give them their hit and the next hit and the next hit. These are just either singer-songwriters or bands that are writing their own stuff. And clearly, not necessarily with a goal of, you know, being on the CMA Awards. And I like those people. You know, that's where the creativity lives still,
right,
is among those people doing it their own way. And the results be damned, you know. And they have a lot of followers and fans. And, you know, the fact that Drive By Truckers has a catalog of like 15 albums or something,
really?
You know, proves that, you know, you can do it your way if you want.
Craig Moore, thank you.
You're welcome. Well, I hope you can edit that down into something usable.
Someone else will.